Jim Thomas, welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Let's do as hymn number 477 says. Let's stand up and stand up for Jesus. 477. Before we have prayer, let us stand, please.
Victory unto them.
remain standing for prayer. Here we are, Father, by your providence, you brought us here. You have been good to us. As we think back through the years, you've taken care of us. You've provided for us. Some of us have been fortunate to have parents that loved us enough to look after our care. We're grateful for those, Heavenly Father, who were concerned about our spiritual welfare also. The matter of eternal estate. The matter of salvation and giving forth the word. Thank you for them. Thank you for this precious word that we have before us and around about us. For the Bible is the word of God. And as this morning we come to your precious word to understand that we might be part of that army of the Lord Jesus Christ to stand and represent him courageously and that we might function in a God-like manner, a Christ-like manner. And our Father, we're grateful for places where we can worship and sing these hymns, where we can have fellowship together as Christians. Help us that we see the need to attend as we worship together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves is as the manner of some is in these days, so much as we looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus. And so we depend upon you this morning to look upon us. And as we study the word, and that the power of the Spirit of God be upon us and work in each of our hearts, may we not look to men. May we desire this morning to hear what you have to say. And that not only hearing, but that we might become part of us. And so that we would desire to do that which will please you. We pray for the empowerment. We pray for the new birth, salvation, forgiveness, peace. No, Father, the fact that no matter what happens to us, if we have repented of our sins and trusting Jesus Christ, there is a day in which we'll be resurrected into perfection. There's a day in which this old earth will be renovated by fire and molded like the holy Jerusalem down upon this earth. And then, Father, we'll enjoy all the things that you have for us in that day. How good it is to know Christ as our Savior, Father. And we're praying especially this morning for individuals too. We pray for Ishmael Woodard as he is venturing out into this area, that you would watch over him and bless him in his travels today and in the work that you have lined up for him. We ask for your will in his life. We ask for your will concerning the matter of Joy and Jonathan, Timothy, Martin, as they're here this morning, your blessing upon them also. Bless each of us as we think of this coming study Wednesday night and as we have our time of prayer, as we have an elders meeting on Friday of this new week. We pray for guidance in all these areas. We think of the literature, even as the Little League Championship in South Williamsport, as they go by the ice cream place that they might take of the booklet. And we ask that you would work in hearts there. We also pray for the CDs that are out there, especially we think of the one that in a truck stop in Milton. We ask for your will in that matter. We ask for our World Wide Web and those 170 messages are on there, that as people listen to them that they might be blessed. And now coming back this morning, take us, look at us, bless us, and that we might be more like our blessed Lord Jesus and love like he loved. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I would like you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. And we're in the fifth chapter of what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Aye. Yes, sir. He's my man. Thank you, brother. Now, friends, I must confess to you that this is a tough passage. It's not a piece of cake. And we're told to love them. Our enemies? Who are our enemies? If you've been listening to town hall gatherings, you'll see that there's a lot of hatred and dislike. No. Your enemies are not those that you don't like. It's they who don't like you. Get that distinction. There are people who do not like you and me. I have to laugh because that's so real. You know, I don't even like me sometimes. Some of you who think you're so wonderful, I don't know how you do it. You look in the mirror and you know your thought realm. You know what the Word of God says. How can you really think that you're so wonderful? It's amazing. Can't figure that one out. Now, the Word of God is saying there's some high standards for those of you who say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But I wonder if you have the standards that the Lord Jesus speaks about. I'm amazed that you can have a lot of Bible knowledge. Yeah, you can quote a lot of scripture. But are you really living the Christ-like life? You know, you can be academic and get straight A's, but to practice it is something else. Now, I'm closing out in this fifth chapter in the last few verses, 43 through 48. I must tell you, I don't know how I can do this. I don't usually take such a large passage, but contextually, you have to have the whole thing. Matthew 5 and verse 43, how to love your enemies. He said to those of his disciples and the Pharisees and Sadducees and the people around while he's on the sermon there, and he says to them, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thyself. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? And do not even publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Thus saith the Word of God." Yes, there are standards. If you've been saved, you have been forgiven of your sins. If you have peace with God, if you have fellowship with the Lord, if you have been delivered from nauseous sins, and if you are going to be resurrected from the grave, that ought to do something to us and say, I really want to please the Lord. Yes, our God is long-suffering, I can tell you that. Yes, the Lord Jesus is looking for an army of disciples, an army of disciples that will do what he wants them to do, and that we might look like our Father which is in heaven and our Lord Jesus by the help of the Spirit of God, and that we might do those things that please him. Now you notice in this passage, he wants us to look at the enemies as he looked at his enemies. And the Lord Jesus had enemies. And you notice that there is this matter of the rain. Not only does he provide rain, he looks out after the enemies and provides rain that they might have crops. Not only that, but he died that they might have everlasting life. And now he's asking that we obey his commands. And there are a lot of New Testament commands. And so here we have a command this morning. What command? Well, verse 43, that's a command. Well, what? He said, you know, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thine enemy, or love thy neighbor. Get it right. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Well, it's true that the Bible does teach that you should love your neighbor. But the Bible doesn't say that you're to hate thine enemy. Well, why is it in the Bible? Because religious guys, that's what they taught. They were Pharisees and scribes. They added to the Word of God. And they were operating under the realm of a traditional interpretation. And the Lord Jesus is saying, wait a minute. You heard that you're to love your enemies in Leviticus 18 and hate thine enemy? I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them and hate you. Pray for them with despite use you and persecute you. Now these scribes and Pharisees, all polished up religiously. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he said in verse 20 of the same chapter of Matthew 5, he said, now you say you're followers of me. I want to tell you something. Verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. These were religious crowd. And here's the religious crowd is tampering with the word of God. Well, that's way back in those days. That doesn't happen. Oh, it does happen right now. Tampering with the word of God. The Bible says you're not to add or take away from the word of God, but there are people that tamper with the word of God. There are people who say that this Bible is not sufficient and you got to have something new. It's sufficient. It is verbal and plenary. The words are inspired of God and the whole book is plenary. It's the word of God. You don't need any more. Just take care of this. Well, I want to ask you, who are your enemies? I'm going to find out who they are before we talk about them. It may surprise you that some of our enemies may be very close to us. We may be even in the same church meeting together. No. You don't have that right. Don't I have it right? Yeah. I tried to raise my family, and I say this, and I say this openly, I tried not to show partiality. But I want to tell you something. In a church, there can be cliques and partiality. I don't particularly care for this person, but hey, they come to church, I'm supposed to love them. No, you don't do anything like that. You don't have any feelings at all about other people, do you? Well, we need to obey this command, and that is love those who don't like you. If you think you're so wonderful, people will tell you, I don't care for him. I don't particularly like her. They're enemies. That can happen in homes. Yes. Between brothers. Sisters, between married couples, ex-spouses, workers at the factory, students at school. People have this, actually they're foes, they're hostile, they don't like you. Well, I guess we got enough of that for the time being. I'm not so sure. There's a passage that I would like you to turn to the 10th chapter of Matthew in verse 38. Why? Well, some of you may not know that this is possible. Matthew 10, verse 38. No. 36. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. No. Never. Yes. I know families that they haven't talked to each other for years. You do too. Well now, that's not right. No, and especially if you say you know the Lord. Because your standards are higher than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They have substandards. You have higher standards because you have Christ's Spirit. That'll draw some conviction this morning. The way you are treating your foes and how they're treating you. How you're supposed to handle them. I asked the Lord, to take these words and get them into our hearts. It's one thing to stand up here and say, the Bible says this, and you academically say, yeah, I can see that, isn't so hard. Oh, but to get it down into our hearts and obey this New Testament command. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, the Lord Jesus said. There's no weaseling out of this, friends. You see, some of us may say, well, I just don't want to do that. Or you say, well, I have my own life. But the Bible talks about dying to self. What's that mean for a Christian? What's it mean? Or you can say, I don't have it. I do not have that to do that. To do all those things found in that scripture, like found in verse 44. Sure, there's a campaign that's against Christ, even to pray in his name in this blessed country of ours. There's the satanic powers. I'm not talking about them. But oh, the satanic powers. Most Christians walk around like a zombie and they say, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean, demonic powers? We don't hear much preaching about demonic powers. That was back in the old days. That's not for the sophisticated, educated, smart days. Yes, it is, friends. It's amazing, the demonic powers. You know, we talk about illusions. Satanic powers. Satan has a lot of delusions. I want to say this not because I'm not going to major in this, but he's the biggest mimicker I know. He can throw you a curve and you say, wow, that looks real to me. So that's just what I want to do. Gives us all kinds of false impressions and have that say, well, I believe that because I saw that or I heard that. Does it jive with the Word of God? Well, I don't know, but I know. Yeah, well, he's in the business of deluding people, deceiving people. But that's not my theme this morning. That's a subject that needs to be handled more than it is in the pulpit, I can tell you that. But anyway, I want to talk about this, these verse 43, how God, the God haters, the foul-mouthed people, the liars, the cheats, and the Judaistic system, which is substandard, and it's just blowing away the Pharisees and the scribes. And he is saying, you follow my commandments. He said, do like verse 44. How? How do I treat them? Treat who? Treat your enemies. Well, it says in verse 44, Matthew 5, you're supposed to love them. Love them. By the way, that word love, and there's all kinds of loves that the Bible speaks about, this is what is called agape, which is God's love, and it usually has to do with, connected with the cross of Jesus Christ. Love them with an agape love, which has to do involving the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, is that the love he's talking about? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. You want them to be connected to Christ's cross, your foes, your enemies, that they might be connected with Christ's love, Christ's cross, and that God, like God so loved the world, that's agape love, that he gave his only begotten son. That's the love it's talking about here. He says, love them, verse 44. Yes, well, not only love them, but bless them. He says, this will lead to repentance. How am I supposed to love my enemies? Well, first of all, you have to have in your heart to love them with a cross-like love, that they might repent of their wickedness, and they come to Christ. How am I also to do it? Well, you're supposed to bless them, verse 44 says. Bless them. How am I supposed to bless them? Well, you know, you could do this when you're with your buddies and his name's come up or her name's come up, comes up. You can decide that you're not going to tear them down. You could be like this. You could find something good in everyone, can't you? Why can't you speak well of them instead of ripping them down like the world does? It might lead to the repentance. He gets back to them and say, you know, so-and-so was talking about you, and he said some things about you that I thought you ought to know. What? Well, you know what he say, man, that little cuss? Well, he said that you have a nice family, or you're a good worker or something. Did he say that? Did she say that about me? Instead of tearing them down, bless them. That's what might lead to the repentance. How am I supposed to obey this commandment to love your enemies? Verse 44 says that love them and then bless them and then do good to them. Look at that verse. How am I going to do good to them? Well, you're going down the road and you see you have a flat tire. Zoom. I don't have time for him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I read about people like you, but I also read about a Samaritan. And he stopped. And he helped. I don't have time. I'm a busy man. I got to make money. Well, you might find that they need a ride. Do what? Do good. Verse 44 more. They might need a ride. Give them a ride. Well, they can call up the transportation service. Don't let them bother. I'm not bothering giving them a ride. That's what we pay taxes for. Yeah, I know. Good things. And then lastly, it says pray for them. Pray for them. Verse 44. Huh? Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, the last words. Pray for them. What am I going to pray about them? Well, you could say, Lord, I desire that you'd save them. Give them a new life. Yeah. I read about a man in Scotland when they were martyring Christians, faithful Christians, for the truth. Yeah, they did that. There's books there you can read for yourself. Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's there if you want to read it. This one case, there was a man by name, I think his name is George Witnet. Anyway, George, he had done a lot of good, but he didn't agree with the religious controlling powers, and if he didn't knuckle to their wishes, they got burned at the stake or hanged, or their heads knocked off, cut off. And so the time came that George was to be executed. And as he was about to be executed, the executioner was there. And George went over to the executioner, and he said, you know, I forgive you. You got to do what you got to do, but I forgive you. Now, where did George in the world ever get in that? Where did he get that? Where'd that come from? What religious church did he go to get trained like that? No, it's the empowering of the Spirit of God. You have Christ, He'll empower you to have that attitude to love your enemies to such extent that you could actually go over and kiss them on the cheek and say, I forgive you for what you have to do. You know, I read that passage in Matthew 10. That might have meant nothing to us. Say, I don't get any point of that in Matthew 10, verse 36. What relevance does that have for us? See, we so think of the whole world as just like us. And that's so simple. That is right downright dumb if you think the whole world's like us. But in that 10th chapter, it says that a man's foes shall be they of his own household. We had a man standing in this pulpit, a converted Jew. What? Tell me what you remember about him. Well, they disowned him completely. Had almost what was called a symbolic burial, no longer part of this family. Well, verse 36 says that can happen if somebody gets soundly converted and love of Jesus Christ and talks about Jesus Christ. Their parents will say, that's not for this house. We're not having some weird religious person like you around here. You're not welcome. If you want to stay in this house, you do not talk to us about needing Christ as your Savior. Out with you. And you know, it's just full of information like that if you have any desire to find out about it. Oh, not with my family. I know some families in this country that have gone through struggles like that. Anyway, verse 45. And I'm looking at it verse by verse if I can get through here quickly. Verse 45. What'd you say, Lord? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. What should be our reaction? Our reaction should be, I want to be like my Heavenly Father and my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be like them. And somebody's going to say, nice talk. How's your walk? Let me ask your wife. Let me ask your husband. Let me ask your dad. Let me ask your mom. Let me ask your teachers. Let me ask the boss. What? That you might understand that there is, you're to demonstrate as truly as God's children. Verse 45. Like God's children. You know, I heard a man this week. I told you about this before, but I saw him again this week. I heard his voice before I saw him. I knew who his dad was. I heard also this week that even the children of this family, when I answer the phone, they said, is this dad or is this Dan? Is that we talk sound alike on the telephone? There is a likeness, yes. Now you take those simple illustrations and ask yourself, do you think that you have any Christ-likeness, any God-likeness in your life? That's a good question to ask yourself. Well, I go to church, don't you know that? And I give some money. Oh, man. That's important, but it's more than that. And I do some work for the church. Oh, man, it's more than that. You love your enemies. Well, and so he has blessed us materially. That's what the scripture says in verse 45 of Matthew 5. He's blessed us materially. How you do that? By his providence. People have hate them, hate the Lord, hate Christ, but he still blesses them. He gives them the air to breathe. That's God's doing. He arranges for them that they might eat, have food, have some money. Even the pagan who is a farmer, God will bless his crops. Verse 45. Well then, that being so, that he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust, then you be like him. Do what you can to bless people. That's what he's saying. You don't return hatred for hatred. Hey, I'm going to get even with that guy. You do as the scripture says here, that you bless, and you do what you can. Oh, what amazing love. This is a higher standard. This standard is higher than the religious crowd who brag about all the religiosity of the scribes and Pharisees. Unless your righteousness exceeds that, their substandard, your standard has to be higher than the scribes and the Pharisees, or you won't see the kingdom of heaven. These booklets right here, this the magazine that the church librarian has, you may read these about the voice of martyrs, where homes are being burned. No, not in our country, no. Oh, how narrow is our view. Where they burn the homes, where they kill Christians. Just read some of those magazines they're put there for. Say, oh, I don't know anything about that. Read them and see if it's up to date. They're up to date magazines. I am almost astonished that we somehow or other, well, tomorrow I get up at 6:30 or whatever and I go to work, and hey, things are always the same. Things are changing. Things are changing. There's a lot of hate. They'll hate the Lord Jesus. Don't you dare pray in His name. Homes are destroyed. How would you like your home destroyed because you're a Christian? Burned down. So this hatred, it can be of extreme, or it can just be someone who snubs you.
Yeah.
He sees you. I don't want to talk to that person. Well, does that mean in this verse then, verse 45, that if I do this, then I'll be a Christian? No, it's not earning a salvation. It is living out your salvation, proof that you really are genuine if you do this. It's evidence that you have been converted. If you don't do it, you're no different than the world, because the next verses show you that what's the difference between you and the world? The Lord Jesus speaking. How are you different than the publicans? Who are the publicans? They're the crooked. They work for the Roman Empire. They work for the government, take care of tolls and so forth. And they collect tolls and so on. And they were crooked. And the Jews said, I hate him because he's a Jew and he's working with he's fraudulent. He said, all right, we'll use him as an example then. Look at verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And then the verse 47, we might as well read it together. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? The publicans. How are you different? Who's my enemy? Anyone who does not love you. Okay? And here's a Jew that's working for a Roman government, and he's a really, really bad guy. But those bad guys, in verse 46, it says here, that there are those in his crowd. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? They got their little cliques. And say, he's my man, don't you understand? He's my man. He's of my priority. And I speak well of him. Maybe a bum as could be. But he's of my party, don't you understand? Hi there, Joe, how you doing? Good to see you. That's the way the publicans. Did he say, are you like the publicans? You see, if you just love those that love you, are you any different, really? He said in verse 47, if you suit your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You see, if you don't get the picture, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, to enable us to obey this command, to love your enemy. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you'll never be able to carry out this commandment. You need to be born again. You need to turn from your sins. Trust Jesus Christ's work at Calvary. Taking your sin, taking your hell, taking your wrath. And then to prove it, was buried and rose again in 3 days. And then he ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God making intercession. I tell you, friends, this is a Savior you need to know. But you see, if you're no different than those round about you, say, hi there, hey. God's people are getting so they assimilate just like the culture. Dress the same way. Talk the same way. Walk the same way. Practice the same things. You don't know the Sermon on the Mount. This preacher hasn't got it across. But I've tried to show you that much of what we are in our society is substandard for Christians. Well, we've even forgot how to be modest. We'll say, no, 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 preacher, that's legalism. Don't say anything about, you know, modesty and so forth. That's legalism. We're not under law. We're under grace. We can do what we want to. Preacher, you just don't get excited about these things. And the Lord Jesus said, are you really demonstrating not only by your actions, and your actions include how we live, how we look? No, it doesn't. All right, you If you're just like the world system and you assimilated in the world system, and this Bible is saying to you, your righteousness is no higher than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and you're not going to make it. Verse 20, Matthew 5. Are you exceptional? Are you different? Are you one of those persons that you just give good for that which is good to you, done to you? Or do you actually give good for evil, as this is trying to show us? Do good for evil. Is God really our model? Or did we learn a model in our schools? And they told us how to do things. Thank you, I don't need any more than that. I've been to school, taught by the world. I don't like to say this. It hurts me to say this. But churches can have backbiting, gossiping, unkindness, cutting people up. I've been there. I've seen that. And they say they know Jesus. Maybe you're one of that bunch. Just because you're looking nice this morning, there's an aspect about this old heart, the inner man. By the way, this verse coming up here quickly about verse 48, about being perfect. That's a word. Be ye therefore perfect. I'll have to go to the Wesleyan church and let them talk about sinless perfection, because this church doesn't teach sinless perfection. I wonder why they don't teach sinless perfection. Well, there's a reason. You got to find out what that word perfect means. Don't forget, words do have meanings, and this has a real definite meaning. What is your idea that you're to be perfect? But I didn't finish up, did I? Did I finish up in verse 47? Or did I run over that? I think I need to go back to verse 47 before I get into 48 and close out here. Verse 47 of Matthew 5. What's that say? Now if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Yes. It's amazing how some Christians really respond to being in the army of the Lord. Onward Christian soldiers. Marching. No. Monistic, like a monk. You just kind of go, come out Sunday, you know, come out Wednesday maybe, and then the rest of the week you don't do anything for the Lord. Or you get your little salt shaker out. Say, I don't want to be completely saltless, so I'll put a little salt if I can, give a little gospel track. I don't want to talk about the Lord. I don't make it a point to go see people and talk to them about the Lord. I'll let so-and-so do that. I can't do that. But, oh, you can talk business, can't you? Whew. Are you ever good at that? You can't talk about the Lord. And you're almost what we call saltless Christians. That's a misnomer. That can't be. Or lightless Christians. That can't be. Keeping to yourself. In my culture, we keep to ourselves. Mind your own business. We don't bother talking to people about the Lord. The Lord says, this is my commandment. He's saying, you need, as your Heavenly Father, He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust, and He says, you're supposed to be out there doing good too. Boy, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this. He said, you hang in there. Do you have anything more than just the human standards? Are you any different? That's what it's saying to us. Verse 46 and 47 there, or 45 and 46 and 47, it says, are you really any different? Well, I go to church, and you see me get in the car Sunday morning, at least I'm different. They're going out swimming or something. Well, that's good. You're not just forsake the assembly yourself together. It's give you comment there. But how about other than the Lord's Day? And what do you do the rest of the Lord's Day? What does the Bible really say how we are to act? How we're to function on the Lord's Day. Maybe you have the right answer. Do you really have the right answer? People are asking me questions. Had a man ask me a question Thursday. He's saying to the Pharisees there, and the Lord Jesus is preaching, he's saying, I want to tell you, religious bunch, you're not saved. Well, pardon me, I have my collar turned around, and I've been to the university, and I've been to seminary, and how dare you say, I've been to the best Judaistic schools in the world. And how can he say that? And that's what he's saying to them. It's substandard. Your righteousness does not come up to the righteousness of God. And he's saying to them, I want you to know that I've been telling you five times now, this is the sixth time, I say unto you, I clarify what it really means, and to put it in the realm of the spiritual, not just the outwardness. I believe outwardly, if we're good Germans, that we can almost act perfectly like Christians. If we're good Germans. Astut. And some have done a good job on that. But it won't work. The righteous, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were like that. Stoics, religiously speaking. He said, they won't cut it. Substandard. Won't make it to heaven. Wow, Lord Jesus. That's pretty much cutting it down there. He said, I want to show you something. There's a Father's perfection. And if you say you're a Christian, verse 48, there ought to be some demonstration that you have a fatherly, heavenly Father. Yeah, heavenly Father what? Perfection. Now let's look at that word perfect. Perfect. Because if I don't get that word across, you're going to be confused. What does the word perfect mean here? Are you going to take us to the Greek? Yeah. It's all right. Go to the dictionary. It actually means one who is mature, fully grown. Okay. It goes more than that. It has the idea also that you're exhibiting it. Be therefore perfect. Verse 48 of Matthew 5. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I'm to be like my Father, my Heavenly Father, and my Lord Jesus Christ. And by the help of the Spirit of God. That's what he says he wants. Yes. You know, I said to you, legalistic, you can keep rules. Put them down on paper for us. We'll keep them. As long as I have a paper right here. Yeah, I can do that one, that one, that one. Yeah, I got that. I get an A on that. And there's religious people that operate like that. The Lord Jesus said, no, no, no. It has to be deeper than that. That's substandard. That's legalism. And wearing your little cap and wearing your little dress and not having an automobile or all that is supposed to be so religious. Oh, my. Inwardly. Mature Christians. Full grown. You say, well, that means you don't have to, you know. No, no. The Bible teaches that we are to continually to have a hunger and a thirst. That's the present tense. Have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. You get the place to say, I don't need to hear anything. I know everything there is. Boy, flunk. You flunked. You're not even going to make it to heaven if you have an attitude like that. But be like your Father, and that you're, and he's mature. And you could become a mature Christian, not a baby Christian. I want my milk. Give me milk. Give me entertainment. Give me a little funny stories. That's what church is all about. Give me some excitement, some phoniness that the devil will give. Something exotic. No, no, no. Just get the Word of God. And be fed the Word of God. Have a hunger. Come here with a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And not just say, well, what's he got to say to me this morning? Does he have anything to say at all? What God requires. Not a halfway disciple. He wants a radical discipleship. And this generation doesn't even know what radical discipleship is all about. And besides, they don't want to know more about it. No, thank you. That is in thought and in word and in deed. That's what he wants. Well, in conclusion, I'd like to say this. Do you really want to be a child of God? Do you really want to represent the Heavenly Father and the blessed Lord Jesus? Do you really want to seek the good of your enemies? Now let them die and go to hell. What do I care? No skin on my nose. You don't do that, do you? I would he die and go to hell. That's how I feel about him. You wouldn't think that, would you? No. He's saying here, you're to love all people. I don't see how you could love some of those terrorists. To love all people with agape love. I'm not talking about emotional love as, you know, I have to have a certain feeling towards them. I desire God's best for them in salvation, that God would give them repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what it's all about. He's our model. Verse 48, who's our model? Our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, he's speaking. He's our model. Not some man, the Lord Jesus. And he says, you be concerned about your foes, your enemies, those that don't like you. Do you really want them to die and go to hell? Then listen to what the Lord has to say. Especially look at that verse 44. And carry it out. And do what he has told us to do. And to seek their good. Emulate the Lord Jesus rather than emulating this generation, this carnal bunch of this society which Christians are assimilating more and more like the world. And if you haven't repented of your sins and trusting Jesus Christ's work at Calvary in your behalf, well, I desire very much that you might do that. And that you get a supernatural birth and you be born again and then be a genuine Christian. And then you can, as the Bible says, you're a genuine Christian empowered by the Spirit of God. You can love your enemies. That's what it's saying here. Is there any evidence that you're that way? I'll tell you. If you say, well, I hate them, well, then you're not like your Heavenly Father. Aren't you glad he loved you enough? You at one time, and so was I, unless you were deceived. At one time, I had no time for the things of God. And I'm not bragging about it. I didn't like you when I was a kid. If I'd have known you, I didn't like Christians. But God changed my heart. I had an awful tongue. He gave me, I'm speaking in a new language. I'm speaking another tongue from what I was as a young man. Are you bragging? No, I'm embarrassed. But I'm at least telling you the truth. Are you embarrassed in your past life? Have you had a supernatural birth? Any evidence of it, really? So the scripture this morning is saying to us, Lord God, enable us. Enable us to be just like our Heavenly Father and our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And by the help and the empowerment of the Spirit of God, that we might be able genuinely to love our enemies. That's the message this morning. I trust that the Spirit of God will take it to your heart. Perhaps that hymn in closing would be a further help to us. And that, as we had sang it, number 551, Hiding in Thee.
Friends, sorrows would fly.
before we stand, may I tell you, let's stand, please, the last stanza. That rock is Jesus, and you have to be in Christ, and he's your refuge then. Be in Christ, and there's safety. Now let's sing the third stanza. Our Father, as we reminisce and think about what it's going to be like in a day when our blessed Lord Jesus comes back and there's the resurrection, there's the consignment to heaven and hell, and then the new heaven and new earth where there no longer any more tempest, no more sorrows, no longer would there be sea rolling and those pictures of all kinds of troubles, all gone because we know the blessed Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Look upon each of us this morning, Father. Take the word. It was your word. And as I simply expounded it, take it and use it and speak to hearts. We have loved ones. We have friends that need this, blessed Lord. We have enemies that need to be saved. Give us an attitude. Give us a desire for their salvation. Let us help them by doing good to them and loving them and praying for them. Our Father, hear us as we desire to be part of that army of the Lord Jesus that you'd be pleased with. And now, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.